This is episode 104 on November 14th, 2014.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and anything else that might jump into our minds. My name is Joseph Ferreira.
And my name is Matt Hoffman.
And I was insulted today.
Okay, that's different from any other day, Hal.
Well, this one's, believe it or not, this one's a rather unique one. Oh. I'm Mark Sadowski, and welcome to my therapy session.
And Maude Burns in the background.
You know how you guys know I've been screwing around with medium format film, right?
Oh, yes.
So my most recent post on Instagram, I posted another version of the birch tree photo with the fall foliage in the background. I just got that developed, and I explain in my comment, here's the version, here's the what I used, here's the film that I used, here's how I edited after I got it developed. And then some girl writes in saying, you should be a photographer. Where my profile clearly says I am a photographer and points to my other profiles about the other various forms of photography that I do. And
that's,
I'm thinking,
awesome.
And I click on her profile, and it's just, it's some 20-something valley girl. And I'm thinking, this is stupid. I can't. Then it dawned on me. So I wrote back saying, thank you, Gaia, because that's her name, Gaia. Per your request, I became a photographer, and now I'm living the dream. You should become a guidance counselor.
I was just reading that. She read it on the Instagram. That's awesome.
Checkmate.
Wow.
And now I'm going to go play that Dennis Leary song, I'm an Asshole.
That's funny. You should be a photographer.
Oh, that is a first.
That's awesome.
I'm like, it's all fun and games when Matt insults me, you know?
Most of the time, yes.
Yeah, because it works.
Yeah.
Well, I only do it when it works.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's like,
because, like, when I do it on the show, I want to do it in a way where I leave the audience thinking, ha 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 ha. Wait, is he kidding?
You pull that off wonderfully.
Why? Because sometimes that's what we think. Yeah, so anyway, I thought I would share that with you guys. Anyway, iPhone photography. How about that camera?
Yeah. So Mark, what have you been up to with iPhone photography? I know you've been doing the film stuff, but have you...
Well, funny you mention it. Remember how last time... And we didn't have a show last week. And things were pretty hectic and such.
Actually, it was Skype's fault.
Yes.
If you remember correctly.
It was...
By the time we got it fixed, it was too late.
Yeah. We were all done. Exhausted. It was like another day job.
By the time we got it fixed, it was today.
So yeah. Essentially. So my whole conversion from AT&T to T-Mobile, how I originally wanted to get my 64-gig iPhone. That was never coming. So I settled for a 16-gig, and then I also purchased the iPad Air. Well, last week in the mail, I got my 64-gig iPhone. The very same iPhone that they said they canceled the order for. So I'm like, well, this is kind of cool. I'll just march to the T-Mobile store next to down the street from me, and I'll explain what happened. They're like, you know what? That's fine. We'll take that package and we'll ship it back. I'm like, no, you don't. You guys don't understand something. This here will be pried out of my cold dead hands. You guys will take the 16 gig back.
Oh.
And so they're like, all right, yeah, that's fine. And the funny thing is that I could have kept that 16 gig iPhone. They had no record that I even purchased that phone.
Let's think about that. You have some people working at a store that probably don't know how to use a computer. Oh, we have no record of that. But you know somebody back at corporate goes, hey, we sent three iPhones to this knucklehead over here, and he's only paid for two of them. They're going to come back.
Well, I mean, look, I did the right thing by giving back the phone. But if I wanted to sell it on a black market, I could have gotten away with it.
I have a friend who has a much worse story going on right now. I don't even think he has his phone yet.
Well, before we get into that, let's see what everybody else is doing.
Oh, yeah. What about you, Matt?
Oh, I'm doing all right. As far as iPhone photography goes, I have not done too much. You know what I've been doing? I've been busy updating apps.
My God, this...
I have way too many apps. No, two things have been occupying my time for the last 2 weeks. Updating apps and getting rid of all the spam accounts that are liking me and commenting on my pictures on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So other than that, I am really just a boring person.
Now, they actually did some updates to Instagram I like, or at least I'm getting used to.
Well, before we go into those updates, what have you been up to?
I've been really busy, but I took some pictures of my kids, and I actually posted one on Facebook. That's a shocker. I think checking to see what the new updates have, if there's anything cool. I do have an app that I'm going to share later on, so be ready for that. Let me get to my story. It's actually not my story, but it's a friend of mine.
Right. Quote unquote friend.
Friend. Quote unquote. Yes. He's a colleague also. All right.
He lives in Canada.
Sure. No, he ordered the iPhone 6 Plus the day that it was available to order. And so he got a shipment in the mail on the day it should have arrived, except they, instead of a 6 Plus, he got a 6. And he's like, no. So they said, all right, send it back. We'll send you the 6 Plus. Well, he still does not have the 6 Plus. Last week, he got an email saying, your phone is being shipped. So he looked, he's like, all right, it's in Ohio right now. And he lives here in South Carolina. And then the next day, he got an email, all right, your package has been delivered. Except it was delivered in Indiana, and somebody signed for it. So he had to go back to Verizon, say, hey, you delivered it to the wrong address. You sent it to an address I used to live at two addresses ago. And they go and they look in their system. This is why I had to correct you, Mark. They looked into their system and said, we have no record of that address. And he's like, you sent me the wrong phone to the correct address. You set the right phone to the wrong address. And now you're saying that's not even in your records? How do you do that? And so they said, all right, well, we sent FedEx back. They got the package. They're sending it back to Texas. He's like, why can't they just send it to South Carolina? And so after he said, you know, can you do something about it? They said, okay, we've canceled your order, and we're going to reorder your phone. And it's going to be 3 more weeks.
I don't feel sorry for him at all because I still don't have a new phone.
But you haven't ordered it.
Oh, well, okay. You got me there.
No, I when it comes to too many hands in the pot, it can get spoiled really quickly. And I know that those are horror stories, and that's not the typical thing, but it is fun to talk about.
Except when you go through it.
Yeah. When I'm listening to Mark and I'm listening to John, then I'm like, yeah, and I got mine. You want to see it? Look.
Well, I got mine now. Now living proud with my 64 gig iPhone, which, by the way, I actually brought back my iPad Air. I returned it. There was no point for me to have it.
Oh, just because you don't have the phone now?
Well, it was a 16 gig iPad. And I'm like, well, gosh, this thing's kind of useless now.
I have decided, or at least I'm 99% sure, that I am going to trade in my phone and my iPad for the 6 Plus.
Nice. That's a good deal.
I think so. Because, I mean, really, if I have a 6 Plus, I don't really need an iPad. Plus, the iPad I have is the 2, the second generation one, you know?
Yep.
And, man, is it slow.
Yeah.
You know, just a lot of the apps just lag, like, big time. And I actually thought, so the whole reason I wanted an iPad was to do photo editing on it. I found out that I hate editing photos on it. Like, because the photos from your iPhone kind of look like crap when they're that big. They just look, you know, I think I end up doing most of my iPhone photography in less than ideal conditions for the lens and sensor on an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And also add to the fact that I shoot mostly HDR.
Yeah.
So the pictures that I take are really noisy. And when they're that big, like on an iPad screen, that noise is just, it's unbearable. It just makes me not want to do anything with the pictures.
So now when you pull it up on a computer, are you still getting that same effect? Or is it just for some reason the iPad is what's really highlighting the...
I rarely look at iPhone pictures on my computer.
Yeah.
But like, for instance, it's funny you ask that because today I posted a picture on Facebook, and I'm sure we'll talk about this in a few minutes here, but it was of a sunset today.
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. So if you notice the clouds, that just insanely hideous noise.
No kidding.
If I had noticed that on my iPhone, I wouldn't have posted the picture.
Hmm. And it's just the dark part of the clouds that's doing it. Sort of a purple tinge.
It kind of looks like a T-Rex.
Yeah.
Charging.
Yes.
I like it. I approve.
No, like on my phone, it looked great. I was like, oh, that's cool. And, you know, wanted to share it. And then, you know, I'm sitting at my computer right now while we record this, and I saw that I had a new comment on it or whatever. So I clicked on it to look at it, and I was like, dear Lord, I can't believe the comment's not like, stop offending my eyes. This hurts. Take it down.
What? Okay.
Oh,
so
I'll delete that. I'm sorry.
Let's take that sunset for instance. What did you do to get to your final image?
Let's see. I shot it with Vivid HDR.
Okay.
Note
to self: don't use Vivid HD. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Actually, I'm leaning in that direction. I did use, so there's different like presets or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I don't really care for the one they call natural. It's just really like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just kind of blah. There's no contrast. There's no, it's almost like if you've ever used, Photomatics, right?
Okay.
If you use and you load your three pictures or however many pictures you load in for to generate an HDR, the result is really not that impressive. There's really not too very much contrast. There's hardly any color saturation. So, you know, you can add that stuff in Photomatics, but most people end up just kind of getting, you know, the general idea of what they're going for, and then they add all that stuff in, you know, Photoshop or Lightroom or whatever.
Yeah.
Afterwards. So, you know, I think maybe I should just be using that natural setting because it's really kind of low key. I mean, you definitely get the HDR effect, you know, you get the, you know, better details in the shadows and highlights, but the saturation is just not there, and the contrast, or it's really muted, so the image just looks really flat and everything. So I always end up using like the Vivid setting, and there's another setting that I like that I forget what it's called, but in any case, that might be part of my problem. That might be introducing a little bit too much noise.
Okay.
So on this particular one, I used one of those presets and then, you know, saved it to my camera roll, and then I just brought it into Snapseed and did a few more little tweaks, just the crop, some sharpening. I did use the drama filter, but only like a tiny bit, like 20% or something.
Yeah, that's and a good, then, good safe spot.
Yeah, and then I brought the saturation back to zero.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it.
When you mentioned Vivid HDR, I was looking through comments that we had on our website, and one of our listeners, Scott Guest, had posted an image, but he was sort of talking about the one problem I brought up last show about the painted look. But take a look at this image that he posted using Vivid HDR, and I want to say this looks amazing. It's a sunset. Sunset setting, and it looks like there's either a swamp or a
stream.
Or a stream or even part of a lake, and there's some trees in it. I think it looks awesome. But I don't see any of those same anomalies that you were mentioning about your sunset.
No, but I am seeing another type of anomaly in the trees itself.
Yeah, that's that painted look.
Yeah, which kind of works for this photo.
Makes it dreamy.
Yeah, kind of gives it this surreal look to it. But yeah, I totally know what you mean. But is this an Vivid HDR? How many exposures does Vivid HDR take?
Three? I don't know. I forget.
Because, I mean, that could be an easily explained because it could be windy and, you know, there's some blurring happening in the trees itself. So that's why it's kind of weird. And the grass is blowing. And so I can understand that there could be some.
I don't know. That's probably something we're going to need to dive more into. And, you know, yeah, it's like it's hit and miss. I have some great images, and then I have some other images that just like they look like garbage when you dive into them.
Yeah, it's weird how I have some of the same problems. Like, I'll take a photo, and it looks okay on the surface. Like, I'll photograph it and it's like, well, that came out pretty good. And then I, you know, do the double tap to zoom in, and it's nothing but a blurry milkshake in there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, how milkshake. How did I just got a milkshake actually, so I'm sucking that down. So yeah, I totally know what you mean. Like, it's as though, and again, it's still early on. I haven't had enough time. None of us have had enough time to really, really go waist deep into iPhone photography. But it's like it looks good on the surface as long as you don't zoom in. That seems to be the case in a lot of photos that I've been taking.
Yeah, well, I think...
Well, in certain lighting conditions.
Yeah, that's basically what it comes down to, because any picture that I take when it's, like, sunny outside, blue sky, those pictures always look great.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you notice, like, you know, when Apple does their events, you know, where they're releasing the new phone or whatever, and whenever they talk about the camera, if you look at those pictures of, like... you know, the flowers or whatever, you know, everything looks just amazing, but it's never in the type of light that we photograph in.
I thought there were some instances where there were some dark photos.
You're supposed to just agree with me and not try to prove me wrong.
No, I'm not proving you wrong at all. In fact, I'm kind of like when they were showing the multi-tone flash for the first time, they were showing like a poorly lit area, but it seemed to me that there was still some other light source mysteriously happening. Like, it wasn't like the normal shadows behind the person. So I totally hear what you're saying. They're not going to put up shitty photos.
No, they're not.
Pardon my French there.
To answer your question from earlier, it is three bracketed images in vivid HDR.
Okay. So if you have like windy condition while photographing some landscapes, that then blurring can happen. So I could see that.
I suppose the reason why I still like it and use it is because it's still the best at aligning the images.
Yeah.
Like I don't think I've taken one yet where it didn't come out because the images didn't align.
Right.
Which, that's, you know, a major problem that I have with some of the other HDR apps.
I should try the native HDR on the 6 and see what I get.
You don't already? I thought that was default.
No, I don't think so, because I turned mine off.
Well,
let me look.
You turned it off because it was default.
Yeah, I always go in and turn that off. Yeah, HDR off. I wanted to mention, you know, all the feedback that we got from our last episode. We did get some good feedback. Like I said, Scott Guest commented on our website on episode 103. He said, let me get it right, I noticed the same painting app effect in some of the iPhone 6 images. I assumed it was from the HDR apps that I was using. If it is the camera itself, that would be very disappointing. And then he provided that image, which I will post in the show notes, what he used in the Vivid HDR app of the tree lines, he said, and the grass looked painted. I think in that instance, it looks pretty cool.
I'm willing to say that can be our post pick of the week.
Sure. That'll be great. I'll,
saves us a segment.
Yeah. I'll make that the post pick of the week. And then, we had on Facebook, Marshall Culp had posted, I and a coworker have also noticed the painted look in the iPhone 6 pictures. I took side-by-side pictures of a still object with the 4S and then with the 6, and the 6 doesn't have as much detail, and the zoomed in, out of focus objects look more dotty, if that makes sense. My friend went into the Apple store to ask, and they said that it was a software thing. Not sure if they're going to fix it or not. Camera Plus has better image quality than the 6. So that's another thing to look into, see if there's any apps that may render better than what the native app does on the iPhone 6. So,
I'd say, how about this? For the next 2 weeks, let's test that. Let's take our favorite apps and put them against the iPhone native camera app. And we'll use some various lighting conditions.
Sure.
Let's say we'll do the broad daylight. That'll be the easy one. Panoramas, if they're capable of doing panoramas. Low light and action and all that stuff.
Okay. I'm up for that.
Sweet.
That's not fair.
You can borrow one, right?
From who?
I don't know. Mark, apparently he gets a whole bunch.
I get a whole bunch except for the one that I want.
Yeah.
I've seen a few of them out and about, but not from anybody that I have regular interaction with.
You know what? Actually, this will still be good because Matt, if you still have the old one, if you post your photos, we can do a comparison between the old camera and the new camera.
And I have a 5C that I can use also because that's closer towards the latest.
There you go.
Yeah.
And Mod still has the 4S.
Yep.
That I do.
All right. Yeah.
We'll just point and laugh at him. That's all.
Hey.
I kid.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
I'm used to it.
And if anyone who's listening wants to do the same thing, take them and email them to us. What's our email?
No. Don't email them to us, because what you can do is go to our brand new top-of-the-line Facebook photo group that we just started today after doing already 100-plus episodes.
Yes.
who knew? There's going to be a link in the show notes, but if you want to do it right now as we speak while you're listening to this, if you go to facebook.com/groups/tinyshutter, you will go to our iPhoneography Facebook group where you can contribute photos, comments, whatever the case is. If you join the community, we already have, after just starting today, a whole bunch of members already contributing photos. It's as Matt put it, this was the best thing I've ever done in my life. And it's crazy that it took us so long to do this.
Oh.
So not only do you have hashtag Tiny Shutter to contribute on Instagram, we have this Facebook group that you can share your photos, share your thoughts, share your apps, and I mean, not physically share your apps, but you know, share which ones you're using and all that fun stuff. And there you go. Already some cool photos. There's Jay Libby who contributed. He doesn't listen to the show. He's just a friend of mine that does photography.
Nice.
At North Station, he took a photo with his iPhone 5S where there's this pigeon standing next to the commuter rail line, and it just really well composed. It's
yes.
a great panoramic where the spray painting on the ground says stand back, and
yes.
then the pigeon is just staring at it. I'm like, wow, that's awesome.
No, that's a great great image.
Speaking of panoramics, I gotta say, iPhones, Apple didn't slack off when it comes to panoramics. They're better than a lot of cameras that I own. Like my Fujis, like, they're good, but when it comes to like difficult shots, say for example you're at the ocean and you do a panoramic swipe, like a lot of cameras can't handle that. Ocean water just makes them choppy. You see different gradients in the sky. iPhone, for whatever reason, I haven't had a photo that hasn't come out well.
Yeah.
I actually give clients the panoramic that I take with the iPhone if I'm at a wedding or something.
That's pretty cool.
It's really awesome.
No, I really do like the panoramics, and it's so easy to do. I mean, and it'll tell you, hey, you're screwing up here, slow down, or you know, something like that. And then having the arrow to make sure that you have an even horizon,
yep,
helps tremendously also.
Not only that, but if you have a person walk by, it knows enough to like freeze that person without causing like ghosting or
or widening or making them fat or skinny.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you might get that, but
well, I mean, it depends.
Yeah.
But on average, it does a bang up job. I love it. I have to share that one.
Do you ever see those panoramics where like there's maybe a person in it and they were moving in the direction that you're shooting the pano, so it turns into this like weird, crazy, like spaghetti person?
Yes. I've had that. I had that during a wedding that I photographed a couple months back, and as I was panning, the person was moving. I'm like, oh crap. And I just kind of gave up. I was still panning because I'm like, whatever, let's see how bad this goes. I've already peed on my leg, might as well empty the bladder. And then after I finished, the guy was like, oh, did I get in your shot? I'm like,
yes.
Yeah, just a little bit. And this was on my Fuji, so it like totally messed up the whole thing. The guy's like jumping in and out of frames. He's like freaking out.
It sounds like an amazing experience.
Oh, it was life changing. I haven't been the same since. My therapist said I'll be fine in a couple of years.
Sucker.
Fine being a relative term.
Oh, I wanted to mention an app that I picked up today. It's called Few.
F-E-W. What does Few stand for?
Focus, exposure, and white balance.
So creative.
I know. It's free right now, so if you're listening to it, the show, and you go to iTunes, you may still be able to pick it up for free. It's a really simple app. It's not. I did dive into the quality of the images, and I think what it's doing is it's doing a screen capture instead of an actual image. What would you know? It would do, but I think it has potential. The difference between this one. Let me explain. This is a manual adjustment app so that you can adjust the ISO, the exposure, the white balance, and even the focus. And you not only can you do it with still images, but you can also do it with video. It's pretty light. And it
weighs no more than your phone.
Yeah. Actually, I think it was like only 8 megabytes in size. I'm not going to find it. All right. I'll use the example of 645 Pro or Pure Shot, where they have dials and then you can press to adjust the different f-stops and everything. This one is done with sliders, and you can flick through the different sliders to get to the focus and the white balance and the exposure. So you have on the exposure setting, you have a slider for ISO and for shutter speed. You also have under the white balance, you have the hue and what's the other one?
Luminance.
I don't know.
I didn't hear the question.
When you're trying to get white balance, you can adjust the purples and the greens, and then also you can adjust the oranges and the blues, or the red and the blues, or whatever it is, so that you can fight the different color casts that the environment has, so that you can get.
So the blue to yellow is your color temperature, and the green to purple is your tint.
Yes, thank you. Tint. That's what I was looking for. So you have sliders for both, two sliders for that, and then you have a slider for focus. Very simple, and the one thing I do like about it is it doesn't have a selfie mode, at least not that I've found. So I'm hoping that maybe this is the start of a good app, because there's still a lot to do. The image size is a third. Is it a third? Yeah, it's a third the size of the native camera app's picture quality. So I think it is taking a screenshot right now. Hopefully they'll beef it up a little bit more so that there can be good quality. So it's few, F-E-W.
It needs focus peaking.
Maybe. Let's see your focus. Yeah, probably.
My only issue with this app, I'm playing around with it right now. When you turn on the app, everything seems to be going on auto.
Yep.
Until you start screwing around with the like the focusing.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like it won't turn back.
Won't turn back to auto?
Yeah. Like I mess with the focusing, right?
Uh huh.
And I'm like, you know what? I can't focus this thing worth a damn. So I'm gonna go back to how do I undo it?
Good question. Yeah. No, I think you're right. Now you can. No,
I'm sorry. Double tap.
You double tap on the F, and then it'll lock it. It'll lock the focus. Yeah.
No, the focus is changing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Moving it around. It's changing. It'll.
It
I need to.
It should be noted that it's an iOS 8 app. Just for those of you like me who are slow to upgrade.
Yeah, you can upgrade the 4S to iOS 8. I don't recommend it.
I have not.
I wish that I didn't on my 4S, but I was excited to try out the new features. It killed my battery. Not literally, but my battery drains a lot faster with iOS 8 on the 4S.
When I upgraded my iPhone 4S to iOS 8, it killed my cat, literally.
Really?
It was a mean mother. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Thanks for bringing it up, though.
I still have nightmares. And I have nowhere else for the joke to go, so let's move on.
Okay. Now, did you want to... Matt, did you want to bring something up?
Just wanted to mention that
discussion.
Oh, geez. Way to like dance around that obvious topic. We didn't rehearse this one. Let's just talk about VSCO Cam.
What are you talking about?
No, oh, I thought you were.
I'm gonna bust this out and give you this.
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
All right, Matt.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Anyway. All right. I want to mention ViscoCam. And I suppose I will address our friend Jamie Gallagher, who posted on one of your pictures, Mark, asking what's going on with ViscoCam.
Yeah.
So I can only guess that the reason he asked that question is because I think it was on – let's see. I think it was on Wednesday this week. November 12th, they sent out an email, and the email had this black and white picture with some white text over it. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've been looking at this picture for 2 days now, and I have no idea what the heck is in the picture. Like, I don't know what it's a picture of. It's, I think it's a person with some sort of robe or something. I just can't really understand what it is I'm looking at. But in any case, the text says, "What would the world look like without beauty? What would life be if no art, or if art no longer existed? What if we stripped society of something it took for granted? If we went dark only to turn on the lights to a new day?" And then below that they say, "Tomorrow we will reveal what we hope will ignite something bigger than ourselves, something truly transformative." So of course, you know, anyone getting this email is probably like, "Oh, sweet, you know, what's it going to be?"
Turns out that Neo saved us from the Matrix.
He took the green pill.
It could be that. Well, what I guess we were all waiting for is ViscoCam 4.0. Which is out for your downloading pleasure right now. And I don't really know what that whole email was about. ViscoCam has a couple new features, but it's not anything like earth-shattering and groundbreaking like that email kind of made it sound like it might be. But I just wanted to touch on a couple things real quick that are kind of cool. One is that the ViscoCam used to be iPhone only, but it's now iPhone and iPad compatible.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were dying to use it on your iPad, now you can do that.
Saints be praised.
But here's another new feature that goes along with being able to use it on your iPad. So it has a sync function. So basically, I forget what Apple calls it, continuity or something like that. Kind of works in a way like that. You can basically sync your pictures across your different devices. You know, so your iPhone and your iPad. So you can, you know, shoot on your iPhone and edit on your iPad. You can start editing on your iPhone and then pick up where you left off on your iPad. You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Right? So that's kind of
the same thing that Camera Plus has been doing for years.
I guess so. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in any case, it's a new feature for ViscoCam, and they're pretty excited about it. And then, this is a new feature for some reason. It's something they're calling Journal, which is basically just kind of like making a blog, yeah. I guess, within Instagram or within ViscoCam, and people can follow it, and you can share it and stuff like that. So it basically just gives you the ability to type lots of words along with your pictures.
Is it the publish feature, or is that something different?
Be honest with you, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at the website. I was watching the video while you were talking, and it showed them adding titles and descriptions to images, and it looked like blog, but then they have something like that under, I want to say publish, or the share part. I don't know.
Interesting.
Broaden your creative expression by combining imagery with the written word. Post original images on your grid and long-form content for your journal. Compatibility with Vimeo, YouTube, and SoundCloud will be available soon. I guess that's what it is. I'm not sure.
I'll have to play around with it.
You know, I keep putting ViscoCam on, but then I keep deleting it off. I don't know. I'm not hip like all the other cool kids.
They're no hipstamatic. Well, but, you know what? I do the exact same thing, Joe.
Personally, I really like it. I like their filters because I think that they're nice filters from like a traditional photography standpoint.
Yeah.
And you know, that you can adjust the strength of the filters, which is great. And then I think that, you know, the app has all the editing tools that I think, you know, you would want, unless you want to do like some really manipulative stuff where you need to work in layers or whatever. But, you know, it's got all the standard things like, you know, sharpening, contrast, saturation, all that good stuff. And I think it does a great job. And I think it's a really easy app to navigate around in. And I think if you're looking for an app that's kind of like all in one, like an app that you would enjoy using the camera, you would enjoy editing in it. You know, you might enjoy, you know, curating your photos in it with some of these other features. ViscoCam's a great app.
Right on.
Okay. And for me, it's on my bottom row.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you've been pretty. That's been one of your main go tos.
It took me a while to get there, though.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it'd been around for a good long while before I finally decided to check it out.
Yeah, they have down at the bottom of the website for ViscoCam, it says all together, and I guess the all together now includes Android. And they're saying raising the standard of mobile photography for Android. Ouch.
Good luck with that.
I kid.
Well, we're not making any cracks towards Android, but not it's today. Just that's, you know, that seems a little condescending right there.
I didn't quite look at it that way. You're right. That's like going up to them, hey, slouches.
Or, oh, finally, you're now going to be able to take great images. Use our app. Well, cool. All right. Does anybody have anything else they want to bring up?
I think that's it for this week. I think we can call it a day.
Cool. And, our post pick of the week. Let me make sure I get this right. Where'd it go? Oh, yeah, that's right. Scott Guest is, and we hope that Scott will let us, but will be the image of... I guess it'd be a lake or a stream or a swamp, something like that.
Let us know what it is.
It's awesome. I just have to say that. It's pretty dreamy. So, we usually pick from the Tiny Shutter hashtag on Instagram. If you want to have your image as post pick of the week, unlike today's, but, just go ahead and hashtag your images Tiny Shutter, and then each week we go through and pick an image to be the album art for our episode. And then we feature it on our website. Mark, go ahead and tell everybody where they can find us.
Find us or me in particular?
The show.
Oh, right on. Well, I thought we already established that earlier.
But... Well, say it again.
You could always, our show is everywhere. iTunes, you can find it. We're on Stitcher and any other podcasting device that you could get your hands on. We are on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. Just do a search for Tiny Shutter and our new Facebook group. You will find that all in the show notes by going to tinyshutter.com.
All right. Matt, tell us where they can find you.
Oh, you can check me out on Instagram and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Mark, where can they find you?
I am also on the Instagrams and taking some girl's advice and becoming a photographer. I am that Polish photographer.
You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira.
And you can also find Maud Byrne, who is our monitor for our live chat channel on Affleck Geek Radio. He is Maud Byrne on Instagram. I would let him speak for himself, but I didn't this time.
All right. Mark, go ahead and lead us out of here.
Sure thing. And I'm not stalling because I don't have the soundboard up.
Not.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Yeah, that's it. See you next week.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Oops. That one slipped.
Suck it, Android.
There we go.
All's right with the world now.
All's right. Could have been worse. I could have played this.
But first, let me take a selfie.
Yeah, that was worse.
Yeah.